Rabbi Bosai, welcome to the Yom Iyun. While you're enjoying your food, breakfast, so tomorrow is among the many important yahrzeits, perhaps one of the more significant. Tes Tishrei is the yahrzeit of the Brisker Rav. Brisker Rav passed away on Erev Yom Kippur right before Kol Nidrei in Tavshin Chaf, 1959. So I want to relate a story, which actually has bearing on Ches Tishrei, that occurred with during the Brisker Rav's lifetime, many years before his Patira. At the time when he was still in Warsaw, before he came from Brisk through Vilna, the time that he was in Warsaw also before he got there to Israel in 1941. Now, before we start the Iker story, you have to know a little bit about the Brisker Rav. Besides the fact that the Brisker Rav was known perhaps primarily for his Gaonis and his Harifas as one of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim of the Dor, and as one of the great Manhigim and Bali Eitz of the time, perhaps even more notable was that he was really a Yachid B'doro in the Midah of Bitachon. He was Kona Bitachon to a great degree of Shlemus, to the extent that we have very few figures who exemplified on a practical level so much in the Midah of Bitachon. The Brisker Rav said about himself, you can see in some of his writings, he talks about his relationship with Shara Bitachon, and he related about himself that when he got married, he had a very big, he received a very large dowry, which he ultimately lost. And he said that, I thought I was a gvir when I had all that money. I had a block of apartment houses in Warsaw. But I realized that I'm a gvir because I had the Shara Bitachon. And it really had a major impact on a lot of his hanhagas throughout his life. So there's dozens and dozens of stories of how that expressed itself, just one or two examples. After the war for independence in 1948, so he was in the car with his family once, and he was stopped by some Arab soldiers. And obviously the people in the car were very worried, didn't know how it was going to end up, and the Brisker Rav sat in the back, quietly speaking to himself, talking about the absolute worst-case scenarios. Well, they could kidnap us, they could torture us, they could kill us, they could take all our money. He's going on and on like that, and his son, Roberto, was sitting in the car, and like, okay, it's enough that we're in this situation. Why do you have to sit and talk about all the terrible things that might happen? So the Brisker Rav explained that the Midah Bitachon means that you are 100% aware of the clear and present danger in front of you, and you're prepared to put all of your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that things will work out according to his plan. But in order to really have bitachon, you have to also fully be aware of all the things that could go wrong. So he related those possibilities in order to be able to respond appropriately. Now, the truth is, if you read some of the stories about the Brisker Rav, some of them we would almost call like Hasidus Shemais, but they weren't begetter mofes. Some of these miraculous events the way to explain it was because the Brisker Rav saw himself as the fulfillment of what the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Yovel, Shevet Levi Bavad, although he was Shevet Levi, Lo Shevet Levi Bavad, but anyone, just like Shem Bar Yochai, unique individuals like Yosef Etzadik, because Etzadik is taken to task because he didn't have enough bitachon. He's supposed to do a shadlis, but the higher your level of bitachon, the less a shadlis you're supposed to do, because in the same way that the mun showed up on your doorstep, regardless of whether you did any effort or you didn't, and the more effort you would do would not pay off. If you tried to save it from one night to the next, it would just go bad. So a complete a trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that you know everything is coming to you at the right time, and there's no reason to ever have any daiga. Daiga is the opposite of bitachon. One of those stories, the Brisker Rav was unhealthy throughout his life. Unfortunately, he was never in good health, and he counted on certain medications that came from Switzerland. You couldn't get them in Israel. And as the pack of pills would diminish, so the members of the family would get worried. And there was one time there were only two pills left, and the whole time he was very benachas. He said, what are you worrying about? If you don't need it now, so then you can't necessarily expect to have it or worry if you don't have it yet. And magically, the day before he ran out of pills, someone showed up, was given a package at the airport. Someone which Rav had never seen before was given a package from someone else he had never seen before in Switzerland. And lo and behold, just like the man, it was right there. So at the time that the Brisker Rav was in Warsaw at that time, in 1940, so things were really dangerous. The Germans were constantly executing air raids over the city. And you can look at pictures of Warsaw at the time, and you see the destruction. Because they were literally knocking down buildings left and right. And it was dangerous to go outside when there was an air raid because you could get hit. Not to mention the famine or lack of basic materials for food and whatnot. People were waiting online for hours and hours, hundreds of people, just to get something as simple as bread. And the Brisker Rav had some connections. The bakery wanted to honor the Brisker Rav, so sometimes they would send a shliach with a special ration for him, even though people were waiting online. after a little while, there were a lot of shlichim who showed up and said, oh, we're here to bring the bread to the Bris Grove, and then the bakery caught on and only sent it with the son. But when the Bris Grove first got there, before he had really developed a relationship with the bakery, so whatever he was able to get, he would finish it that day. Whatever the ration was for that day, he would finish that day. He would not do what many people did, was only eat half the ration, because you don't know if there's going to be a ration tomorrow. You don't know if you're going to get online. By the time you get to the front of the line, there's no food left. But he had completely tachon that, just like the man, you don't leave it overnight. Because Baruch gave it to you, that's it. The Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Ches, used to quote, Rabbi Lazar Agadol Omer, kol mi sheyesh lo pas besalo, v'omer ma'ochal l'machar, harizim mekat ne'emon. It's a chisaron and amuna if you have food now and you're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. So the Bris Grove would never leave over anything for the possibility of the next day, because he said, if I have it now, I'm going to use it and I'll worry about tomorrow. That was his midas habi tachon. Until Ches Tishrei came, he said to himself, it's one thing to have this great level of bitachon, but can I be somech on ke'ein anes when I have a mitzvah d'oraisa tomorrow to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? So maybe I don't have a right to take those chances and rely on the miracle that something will show up tomorrow. And as a result, he left over kazayis from whatever he was supposed to eat on Ches Tishrei, in order that he should have it on Tes Tishrei, Erev Yom Kippur. And Maaseh Shehaya, kach haya, the next morning, Erev Tisha B'Av, knock on the door, it's the baker, who came to introduce himself, Rebbe, I saved you some yashan, I made you fish, I made you a whole suda for Erev Yom Kippur, and on the way over, the shelling was coming down, and I got so scared, and I dropped the whole thing on the floor, and it's all ruined. So the Bris Grove said that was a Simon Hashemayim, that he did the wrong thing. On his level, bitachon, he was not supposed to do that hishtadlus, and as a result, you don't gain anything. If you do the hishtadlus, you don't gain anything. So whatever food was coming his way via that baker was now lost, because he had, unfortunately, misapplied the principle of bitachon and hishtadlus on his level, and left over the food from yesterday, when in reality he should have eaten it yesterday, and he would have had whatever he was supposed to have today. Reminds me of a great story along those lines. When he was already in Yerushalayim, and I think during the War of Independence, there was also constant firing, and he lived on a higher level in his apartment building. And the family said, you have to go down to the bottom level, you have to go, it's much safer, you're going to get hit. And he refused. He said, his cheshbonos, he figured out that the degree of sakana was the same upstairs, downstairs, and therefore it was a futile hishtadlus to go downstairs. Eventually the family hocked him so much, he came down, and he was learning on the first floor. After the shelling stopped, they went upstairs, and they saw that the room where he was in shambles, and the sofa that he was sitting on was destroyed. And they said, Abba, look, it's a good thing he came down with us, because otherwise we would have been killed. He said, no, if I would have been up there, I would have been safe. The bombs wouldn't have hit me. You owe me a sofa. Because, again, my hishtadlus didn't require me for to go. This is Yosef HaTzadik, this is Rishon Berechai, not so plush. This is Mekayim Ba'atzmo, that inyan of Lo Shevet Levi Bovad. So just to be Messiah, so the Bris Grove's Mida, he expressed also in the continuing minog to say L'Davar Hashem over this time of year, it ends with Kaveh Hashem Chazak Mitzvah Kaveh Hashem. What's the repetition of Kaveh Hashem? So he says, because the when a person has a high level bitachon, the only thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give him, which is commensurate to that that great mitzvah, which the Chofetz Chabad says is a kiyum of Yiras Hashem, the Mishnah Chacham says it's a kiyum of Uvo Sidbak. But there's nothing else HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give other than to strengthen your emunah. So Kaveh Hashem, if a person has bitachon, Chazik v'amis lebecha, v'kaveh Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him strength to have even stronger conviction in his emunah. And something to keep in mind today, something to keep in mind on the Yortzeit tomorrow, and even though it wasn't a Chassidish Rebbe, even in the Lipshitz Yeshiva, because we won't say Tachman tomorrow on the Bris Grove Yortzeit. And Gmarat Sima Tova, everyone. And if there's anyone who's able to help out a little bit on the dinner setup, please let me know.